God is good. Okay. You haven't lost your touch. Happy Father's Day. Whoa, I'm a little bit loud. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everybody in the house. Well, all you daddies. Excuse me. It's always a special day when we dedicate a child to the Lord. Amen. Yes, very, very special indeed. So, anybody ever do any of those personality tests? You know, Berkman's, Myers-Briggs, any of those? Well, I did one a little while ago that was had a little bit of a twist to it. And I discovered that I have a much stronger male side to female side.
Oh, how do you define the male side?
Well, I like guy stuff more than I like girl stuff. Yeah, it is okay. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. And I think that happens when, you know, you're a firstborn child in a nuclear family where mom and dad immigrated to Canada, and 5 years later, you come into the world and you're the only child. You know, mom and dad are Irish and they don't really have a lot of friends in Montreal because everybody's French. Have you ever tried to hear an Irishman speak French? Yeah, because we grew up in Montreal. I was really fluent at one point in my life until I... Anyway, that's another rap trail. But anyways, I would try and teach Dad French, and it was hilarious. Like, he had his Irish accent trying to speak French. It was just crazy. Anyways, so maybe that's why I have, because I play pitch and catch with Dad. I love watching sports on TV. Ladies, get with the program. Hockey, I grew up watching the Habs. And then, once I was in Ontario for a few years, we made the switch, Ken and I. We switched allegiance from the Habs to the Leafs. Amen. So, and St. Louis won. Woo! The Raptors won. Woo! That was so stressful. Like, those last 9 seconds, it's the only sport where I think 9 seconds can last for 10 minutes. You know, it just goes on. And I'm like, did you see Ken's post about me? My wife is loud and obnoxious? No.
No, not obnoxious.
Oh. What was the word you said?
There are people who are not on social media that won't.
Oh, aggressive. Yes, that was it. And it's
aggressive.
True. At the last 9 seconds, I'm up standing in front of the TV like, come on, I can't watch. Oh, yes, I can. Anyway. So anyway, all that to say, I have a strong masculine side. And so, because it's Father's Day, on behalf of men everywhere, I present you ladies with a top 10 list of things that men just are itching to say to you, women. Woo-hoo. Yes?
Wait a minute,
hold on. So, women, I'm speaking on behalf of the guys, so pay close attention, okay? Boys, ready, boys? All right. I'm starting from 10, working my way up to 1. And I'm in total agreement to number 10 here. Sorry, ladies. Whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. Like, number 9, shopping is not a sport, and no, we are never going to think of it that way. Number 8. Sunday afternoon equals sports. Let it be, ladies. Just let it be. 7. Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. 8. Okay. Pauline, we don't want to start any fights in the house today. Okay. Okay, number 6.
Wait, let me put my pastor
pastoral counseling hat on now right now.
Number six, ladies, check your oil. Please check your oil. Okay, that one's for me because I don't really do that. So I don't. You tell me. Number five. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days.
Amen.
Pauline, come and sit over here, please. Number four, if something we said can be interpreted two ways and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. Number three, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing is wrong. Ladies, they know we are lying, but it's not worth the hassle. Number two, ready? All men only see in 16 colors, like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit. It is not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. Okay, ladies? Number one. Da-da-da-da. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. Happy Father's Day to all of you wonderful men that I can call brothers in this house. Young men, old men, little men, medium men, all you guys. So today I actually want to speak to you about a man, a father who is often overlooked. Who do you think I'm going to talk about today? Joseph, that's right. Talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary and the adopted father of Jesus. So I'm going to look at a few portions of scripture. I'm going to read them out first. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'll try and speak very fast because it's already 10 to 12. So try and catch up with me. Try and keep track with me. All right. So Matthew 1, 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then in chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Out of Egypt I called my son." One of the things I love about Matthew is through the story here that it's full of prophecies, you know, just from the Old Testament. It's beautiful. And then chapter 2, verse 19 to 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth, So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. So we're going to take a look at these portions of Scripture. And just as God had looked so carefully for a godly woman to bring this child, the child, into the world, he looked for a godly man to be a father. And what an inspiring model of fatherhood that Joseph was. So what I want to do is look at a couple of key points of Joseph's life and bless you men with it. Because it's this is not a beat up the guys day today, never is with me, you know, this is the way you ought to be, and this is all you're doing wrong. I'm sure there's some guys in some churches getting that today, but never here, because I'm here to bless you men, because I appreciate every single one of you. Anyways, so first of all, Joseph was a loving man. My little doojiggy isn't working this morning, so my James is going to help me out here this morning. He was a loving man. The scriptures draw the picture for us of a wonderfully caring and affectionate man, and we can see this firstly in his relationship towards Mary. When you look at Matthew 1, for example, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he hadn't had any great revelation up until that point in time yet. What was he to think when he found out that she was pregnant? What would you guys think? You've fallen in love with this pretty girl. You do all the right things, you pursue her in the proper customary fashion of that day, and in stolen moments that you have together, you talk together about your dreams and your future, you know, a cottage with a white picket fence or a family or your business, and then out of the blue you learn that this sweet girl that you thought you knew so well is pregnant, newly pregnant. And you don't know who the father is, but there is one person that you can rule out, yourself. How would that make you feel? Angry? Betrayed? In this day, the penalty for adultery, in the Old Testament was death by stoning. Death by stoning. And this penalty applied to unfaithfulness during an engagement as well as in a marriage. So by New Testament times, things had changed somewhat, but the matter was still treated as a serious offense. Upon discovery that Mary was pregnant, Joseph would have been able to divorce her because divorce was actually required in that day to break off an engagement. You were engaged to somebody, and it was as good as being married to them. You had made that commitment. So had he done that, it would have exposed Mary to public shame and humiliation. But even before God spoke to Joseph, Joseph didn't have any revenge or bitterness in his heart, because the Bible said he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. There were ways in which a divorce could be performed very quietly without the involvement of a judge, and Joseph was already considering that that was the best way to do it. Joseph was kind. He loved Mary. This is a love story, and it's based on a real commitment. And husbands, the Bible says to you today that you must love your wives with all that you have. Ephesians 5 and 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The example is that men must love their wives sacrificially, even as Christ loved the church and lay down his life for it. Joseph was a loving man towards Mary, but we also see that he was a loving man in his relationship towards Jesus. When the child came along, the child that he had not conceived, there was no attitude whatsoever in Joseph that says, "That boy is not mine. He's not my flesh and blood." There was no resentment or indifference toward Jesus, no lack of love. Joseph adopted Jesus as his own, and he protected him from the hatred of Herod. He nurtured him and cared for him. And clearly, he taught Jesus his own trade of carpentry. He adopted the one that the rest of the world would reject. Joseph was a loving man. That's the first thing that we can pick up on that's clear in reading these scriptures. And secondly, Joseph was a devout man. He was a religious, a spiritual man. He was a man who obeyed God. He especially followed the Lord's leading and direction. And he didn't follow his own marked out plan for life. He wanted God's plan for his life. I pray that into you guys today as well, that as you go about life, no matter if you're, you know, in your teenage years, in your 20s, 30s, you know, you're hitting retirement and everywhere in between, continue to walk out the plan that God has for your life. So when God spoke to him in a dream and told him to marry Mary, even though she was pregnant, what did he do? He obeyed. Then when God spoke and said, take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt for safety, he immediately obeyed. He closed up his business that he had and he left. And then when God said, okay, now head back to Israel, what did he do? He obeyed again. He did as he was directed by the Lord. He was a man of obedience. And he was also a man of faith. It takes faith to pack your bags and head off to a foreign country with no prospects, no foresight, no planning, just simply on the basis that God is telling you to do so. I can kind of relate to that when I reflect back to our original call of the Lord over our lives. Quit your jobs, sell your home, pack up your bags, and move to Peterborough and go to school for 4 years, calling you into ministry. Scary. Actually, Ken was way more obedient than I was because I was digging in my heels. But we took that step of faith, we obeyed, we believed that it was the Lord's leading, and ta-da, here we are, all these years later. So, he was a man of faith. He had faith and he obeyed the dream. He could have made excuses to stay where the prospects looked good for him, but no, he was a man of faith. Fathers and future fathers here this morning, your faith will speak to your children. Your faith will speak to your children. Raise them in an environment of faith towards God. I read the story of a farmer who had toiled over a bumper crop of grain, a badly needed crop of grain that was going to pay off many creditors and secure the family for another year. But just a few days before it was due to be harvested, a freak wind and hailstorm ravaged the property, and the whole harvest was lost. The man stood with his little boy looking over the fields of destroyed grain. And the boy expected to hear his father cursing in despair. But instead, his dad began to softly sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." You know, years later, that boy grew into manhood, and he said, "That was the greatest sermon I had ever heard." His father had shown him faith, faith. Where the rubber meets the road, his father had shown him faith. Joseph was leaning on God. He was a man of faith, and he was also a man faithful in his spiritual duty. He set an example for his family in going to the temple, attending all the required feasts. And we read about it in Luke 2 and 41. Every year, it says, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Every year, Joseph would make that trek to Jerusalem for the feast. He was regular in going to God's house. Dads, future dads, here's one of your pastors speaking. Be in the house of the Lord. Be in the house of the Lord. Because your children are watching you. When you make it secondary to everything else in life, your children, I'm telling you now, your children will make it secondary in their lives. And they may not just make attending the house of the Lord secondary, they may make a relationship with God secondary. Joseph was faithful. Did you hear about the little boy who was playing on a Sunday morning while his dad was in a lounge chair reading the paper? The father said, "Son, go get yourself ready for Sunday school." And the little boy asked, "Are you coming with me today, Daddy? Are you coming to church with me?" And the man replied, "No, I'm not coming, but I want you to hurry up and get ready." And the little boy then said, "Did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a boy, Dad?" And he said, "I most certainly did." And as he walked away, the little boy mumbled to himself, "Yeah, and I bet it won't do me any good either." Our kids are watching our faithfulness. Your kids are watching your faithfulness. So let's just recap for a moment. Joseph was a loving man towards his wife. He was a loving man towards his son, toward his whole family. And second, he was a devout man. He was a spiritual man. He was a man of obedience. He was a man of faith. And he was faithful in his spiritual duties. And lastly, he was a wise man. Now, listen to me carefully here. Joseph was wise because he lived as one who redeemed the time. When we look at the scriptures, it would seem that Joseph had a shortened life. We don't know what happened. Excuse me. But we don't read of him after Jesus' childhood. And at the cross, when Jesus charged the disciple John to look after his mother, to care for his mother, it would seem that Joseph was taken from the family prematurely. But Joseph had used what time he had been given wisely. He had provided for his family. He had set an example for them that they would remember. He raised them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. And Jesus was not the only child that Joseph had, because we see in Mark 6 and 3 that he had other sons and daughters as well. We read, "Isn't this the carpenter?" Speaking of Jesus. "Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" So Joseph had other children that he raised up. He had other sons, and two of them at least were greatly used by God. They wrote the books of the Bible, James and Jude. So Joseph raised his children in the ways of the Lord, and he left behind him a legacy. So I want to encourage all you dads, gonna be dads one day, granddads, be sure that you're leaving your kiddos a legacy. A legacy of a rich heritage of relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lee, would you do me a favor and go to the two classrooms? Wait, sorry, James. Would you go to the two classroom? Okay, thank you. Bless you, dads. Okay, James.